72 Years of Devotion by Parnell Diggs. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Don Capps addresses the banquet audience after receiving his special award. Betty is seated on the left, with President Maurer seated further to the left. From the editor, When I think about the blessings of a long marriage and an example of an inseparable couple, two people come to mind, Betty and Don Capps. They were the original inspiration for finding a prominent place in the February issue to commemorate Valentine's Day for lovers of all ages. But when I asked NFP of South Carolina President Parnell Diggs for a contribution of several paragraphs about them, he found it impossible to write only a few words. Here is his wonderful tribute to the power of love, to the importance of going for what you really want and figuring out how to get it, and to the commitment of two Valentines who continue to enrich each other's lives. Those of us who have grown to know and love the National Federation of the Blind know that the organized blind movement was established in 1940 and that Dr. Jacobus Ten Broeck presided over the first convention of the National Federation of the Blind in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. But this piece is not about Wilkes-Barre. It is about Mullins, South Carolina, and a place called Proctor Street, where two Federationists formed a bond that proved to be the foundation of the love of a lifetime. Coincidentally, this star crossing also happened in 1940, when a 12-year-old boy whose family had just moved to Proctor Street saw a beautiful, blonde-haired girl walking down the street in front of his house. He described Betty Rogers as the prettiest girl in the city, and conveniently, she lived just three houses up the street. Less convenient, however, was the fact that during the school year he found himself over 200 miles away from Proctor Street at the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind, and he could call on her only during summers and holidays. But call on her he did, and the preteen courtship of Donald Capps and Betty Rogers ensued. He had observed that Betty, about 10 years old at the time, had received a new bicycle for Christmas. Since he did not own a bicycle, young Capps often strolled down to her house and asked if he could ride the bike. In fact, he recalls putting more mileage on that bike than she did. They also made good use of a swing on Betty's front porch. It was big enough for three, but most of the time he was successfully able to dissuade others from joining them. In his Colonel Book story entitled The Value of Greeting Cards, Dr. Capps writes, That particular swing stands out in my mind. When I was 14 and a half and Betty was 12, we were swinging together one summer evening and I managed to steal a kiss. Was it puppy love? I think not. In the summer of 1944, when Capps was 15, he walked from his home about 10 blocks to Mullins High School, where he asked to meet with a school administrator about entering public school in 11th grade. This was 30 years before Public Law 94-142, at a time when it was widely accepted that blind students attended residential schools, and that was that. "We don't have any visually impaired students," Mr. McCormick said. But being the resourceful lad that he was, Capps was able to talk his way into the student body at Mullins High School, rising to the top 10% of his class, and graduating in 1946. That fall, Capps enrolled at a business school in Columbia, South Carolina, completed the program in 1947, and remained in Columbia, accepting a position as a junior claims examiner trainee at Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company. Betty was still in high school, and he found himself once again seeing her when he could get to Mullins. Over the next 2 or 3 years, then, Capps often, as in at least 200 times, hitchhiked to Mullins to see Betty and back to Columbia to continue building a career. "I would just depend on my old thumb," recalled Capps. "It never failed me. Always someone would stop and pick me up. I was never stranded. It was the most incredible thing." Dr. Capps recently observed that times have changed so much since 1946. As a 17-year-old youngster, you would not dare to get out on the highway and just thumb anything that comes along and hop in the car. That's what I did. On one of those trips to Mullins in July of 1948, recalled Mrs. Capps, he popped the question. So Donald Capps and Betty Rogers were married on June 25, 1949, only 22 days after Betty graduated from high school. By then his hitchhiking days had ended, and the couple settled down in Columbia, South Carolina. In 1954, young Capps was asked by his boss to review a package that had been sent to Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company, a box of greeting cards and some literature about the National Federation of the Blind. He was so impressed with the package that he crossed the country, along with Mrs. Capps, to attend the 1956 NFB convention in San Francisco, California. With no interstates, it was a 5-day drive one way. Dr. Capps doesn't care to fly when he can avoid it. But the trip took 3 weeks and included both the national convention and a leadership seminar conducted by Dr. Ten Broeck. They would attend 55 of the next 56 national conventions together, with Mrs. Capps missing only the Boston Convention of 1958 because she was under doctor's orders not to travel so close to delivering their second child and only daughter, Beth. Their only son, Craig, had been born in 1955. While still in his 20s, Dr. Capps developed a close friendship with Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, who would eventually succeed Dr. Tenbrook as NFB president in 1968. That year in Des Moines, Iowa, Capps was elected first vice president of the National Federation of the Blind and held that position until 1984. He had served as second vice president from 1959 through 1968. But even after 25 consecutive years in the leadership of the National Federation of the Blind and a career spanning 38 years at Colonial Life and Accident Insurance Company, Capps was still only in his mid-50s. It was then that he decided to retire as a claims examiner and dive into Federation work and service to his blind brothers and sisters full-time. In 1985, the convention enthusiastically returned him to the NFB Board of Directors, a position he would hold for 22 consecutive years until 2007. That year he told the convention that he and Betty were stepping back, not stepping away, thereby ending 47 years of service on the National Board. Dr. Capps believes that, when we elect someone to office in the Federation, we elect his or her spouse, too. Mrs. Capps agrees and has been by her husband's side as they traveled to all 50 states, a handful of foreign countries, as well as Europe, Africa, and Australia, attending international meetings as representatives of the National Federation of the Blind. With more than a half century of service now behind them, Dr. Capps recalls a wise decision he made, while still in his 20s and lacking experience in the Federation, that has affected the rest of their lives. Life is filled with watershed moments, and one such moment for Dr. and Mrs. Capps came at the 1957 National Convention in New Orleans, Louisiana. He had been a state president for less than 1 year, and the Capps's were attending only their second convention. Here's how Dr. Capps recalled the incident. Durward McDaniel, a national board member at the time, who seemed to be a good enough man, called me up to his room. I was green as a gourd. He said that we needed to amend the Constitution. I said, "What's the problem with the current one?" He said, "Well, not so much wrong with it. We need a provision mandating that a person in office can't serve over two consecutive terms." I said, "You mean to tell me if you had the best leader for the blind in the world and he had served his 2 terms? Well, McDaniel responded, "You might apply that to it." Capps was on to him, and McDaniel admitted that the proposed amendment was aimed at Dr. Tenbrook and Dr. Jernigan. It was the beginning of the Federation's Civil War, and Dr. Capps refused to be persuaded to take a position that was contrary to his beliefs. "Well, see you later," Capps said to McDaniel, and the rest, as they say, is history. Beginning in 1968 and for many years thereafter, Dr. Capps had the best seat in the House, right next to the podium, during most of Dr. Jernigan's banquet addresses. Regarding his friendship with Dr. Jernigan, Dr. Capps said, "I loved Dr. Jernigan like a brother, I really did, and likewise. We," bracket meaning Dr. and Mrs. Capps and Dr. and Mrs. Jernigan, close bracket, "went together for our anniversaries on the QE2. This was shortly before Dr. Jernigan was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I really miss Dr. Jernigan," reflects Dr. Capps, now approaching his mid-80s. "There are times when I really would like to talk to him about things." Dr. and Mrs. Capps both recall Dr. Jernigan, at a much earlier time, skipping and running down the street with Craig and Beth in front of the Capps' home. At the 2007 convention banquet in Atlanta, Georgia, the National Federation of the Blind bestowed upon Donald Capps the title of Doctor of the Federation and bestowed upon Betty Capps the title Keeper of the Spirit of the Federation. In the tribute to Dr. and Mrs. Capps, Mrs. Jernigan observed that two people are one, exactly and precisely what I meant to say. For who among us does not think of Don and Betty Capps in the same breath, does not know that they are one heart, one mind, one treasure of the Federation? In June of 2012, Don and Betty Capps will celebrate 63 wonderful years of marriage. It can be said that the Federation is in their blood. It can also be said that they are in the Federation's blood, for they are a crucial component of the Federation's identity, strength, and vitality. In the Federation's voluminous library of materials, accumulated through the decades, is an audio recording of the 1969 convention banquet held in Columbia, South Carolina. That year, the banquet address was entitled, Blindness, New Insights on Old Outlooks. Dr. Jernigan was holding the audience in the palm of his hand, and as Dr. Jernigan adeptly dispelled the world's archaic views of blindness, if you listen to the audio recording very carefully, you can hear the voice of Dr. Capps coming over the microphone, spurring his young friend to lead us onto the barricades with the exclamation, "Go, man, go!" Giving a dream. One of the great satisfactions in life is having the opportunity to assist others. Consider making a gift to the National Federation of the Blind to continue turning our dreams into reality. A gift to the NFB is not merely a donation to an organization. it provides resources that will directly ensure a brighter future for all blind people. Seize the Future. The National Federation of the Blind has special giving opportunities that will benefit the giver as well as the NFB. Of course, the largest benefit to the donor is the satisfaction of knowing that the gift is leaving a legacy of opportunity. However, gifts may be structured to provide more. Helping the NFB fulfill its mission, realizing income tax savings through a charitable deduction, making capital gain tax savings on contributions of appreciated assets, providing retained payments for the life of a donor or beneficiary, eliminating or lowering the federal estate tax in certain situations, reducing estate settlement costs. NFB programs are dynamic, making the study of science and math a real possibility for blind children, providing hope for seniors losing vision, promoting state and local programs to help blind people become first-class citizens, educating the public about their true potential, advancing technology helpful to the blind, creating a state-of-the-art library on blindness, training and inspiring professionals working with the blind, providing critical information to parents of blind children, mentoring blind job seekers. Your gift makes you a partner in the NFB dream. For further information or assistance, contact the NFB Planned Giving Officer.